The scripture reading is from John 3. It's on page 924 in your pew Bibles. It's John 3, verses 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God.
Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our text this morning is certainly one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. We have seen it unfurled at sporting events, and many of us perhaps memorized it when we were in Sunday school, and it's one that most people readily recognize. God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son. While many of us recognize the passage, few of us remember that it comes within the context of a religious leader who comes to Jesus at night, Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the dead of the night, and he has questions about eternal life. And Jesus tries to help him with those questions. And Jesus tells Nicodemus the story in the Old Testament book of Numbers, how the Israelites came through the desert, and as they was coming through the desert, they were called to trust in God, and yet they failed to trust in God, and they began to complain about their meager supplies, about having little food or little water. And so serpents were sent into the midst of the camp, poisonous serpents that began to bite them, and they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord had Moses to take a pole and to put a serpent upon it. And when the people looked up at the serpent, they were saved in the midst of their distress. And Jesus wants Nicodemus to understand that as the serpent was lifted up as a sign of salvation, so the Son of Man would also be lifted up as a sign of salvation, not just for the Israelites, but for all people. Years ago, during my first year in seminary, I met a man during Greek school who claimed to be the very first person to unfurl one of those banners with John 3:16 on it at a professional sporting event. I had no way to assess the truth of his claim, but if that is true, he certainly picked a good passage of scripture to help etch into the public consciousness. It has often been called John 3:16, the gospel in miniature. And I'm sure that many of you Sunday school veterans can recite it from memory. I like the old King James version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God, we are reminded, loves the world. Sometimes that's hard for us Christians even to fathom, that God loves the world. This is God's world. God created this world, and God does not intend to throw this world away. God loves the world. In John's gospel, the world refers to all of those who are at enmity with God, all of those who hate the truth, and all of those whose hearts are shrouded in darkness. which would have been all of us at some point in our lives. We were all at enmity with God. We all at one point hated the truth. We all lived in darkness, the darkness of pride, the darkness of selfishness, the darkness of indifference, the darkness of sin. We all lived in darkness. And yet, we are reminded that God loves the world, which means that God not only loves me and you, but God loves everyone, including people who we might not think are deserving of God's love. Now, I want to be honest with you this morning. I want you to know that there are some people out there who I don't want God to love. There are some people that I want God to condemn. There are some people out there that I want God to judge. There are some people out there that I wouldn't mind if they perished. I don't know if I want God to love everyone. That's just me. But that's the difference between me and God. God loves the world. There are parts of the world that I don't love. There are people who do things that I don't think they ought to be loved. But God loves the world. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants everyone to live into the light of God's love and God's truth, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. God loves the world. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but God sent his son into the world so that the world might be saved. There's an old-fashioned word for this, of course, and it's called salvation. None of us, of course, are able to bring about our own salvation. On our own, we're reminded that we are lost. On our own, we are dead, spiritually dead. On our own, we are without hope. On our own, we are destined to the darkness. But thanks be to God, we are not on our own. God has provided a way out. God, in God's love, has provided a rescue for us, a way out of our darkness, a way out of our ignorance, a way out of our enmity with God, a way out of our sinfulness, because God so loved the world that God gave the most precious thing that God had, his only begotten Son, the Son who is the light of God's love and God's truth. Just as Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness so all of those who had been bitten by snakes could look up and see and live, so Jesus Christ has been lifted up on the cross so that all of us can see. And whoever believes in him, we are told, will not perish, but have eternal life. That's good news for a fallen world. That is indeed the gospel in miniature. But we need to unpack it a little bit, because like most things that become familiar to us, we sometimes don't stop to examine it too carefully to see what it really means. What does it mean, for instance, to believe in the only begotten Son? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Today, when we talk about belief, we usually mean something that is done with our heads. We usually talk about something that we believe, statements that we believe to be true. Every first Sunday, we recite together the Apostles' Creed, where we talk about what we believe. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, who descended into hell and on the third day was raised from the dead. We believe that, and that is true. But believing is not just something that we do with our heads. But in the Bible, believing is something that we do with our heart. To believe in Jesus means to follow him. To believe in Jesus means to trust him with your life. It means to surrender your will to him. Belief in Jesus, you see, is about relationship. Just like your relationship with your husband or your relationship with your wife or your relationship with your parents or your relationship with your children. To believe is to believe. Whenever we believe in someone, what we are saying to them is that we love them. We love them enough to give them our loyalty and our trust and our allegiance and our commitment. And so John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever loves him, whoever follows him, whoever trusts him, whoever surrenders their life to him will not perish, but they will have eternal life. But what does it mean to have eternal life? That's another term that we hear quite often. Usually today, when we talk about eternal life, we're talking about life that happens after we die. And that certainly is true. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. We go to be in God's presence forever. But when the Bible talks about eternal life, it's not just talking about the life that we enjoy after we die. When the Bible talks about eternal life, it's talking about the life that we can begin to experience right now. Eternal life is life that has been touched and redeemed and sanctified by God right now. To have eternal life means to be born again. It means to be born from above. It means life lived in the light of God's love so that we can begin to experience God's peace and God's joy and God's love right now. Eternal life is that life that God has made available to all of us right now by lifting up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. Now I'd love to end this sermon on this happy note. This wonderful note of God's amazing grace. Because God's amazing grace is free. God's salvation is free. It doesn't cost us anything. It costs God everything, but it doesn't cost us anything. It's free. All we have to do is accept the gift. But unfortunately, that's not where our text leaves things this morning. As unbelievable as it may sound, there are some people who reject God's love. There are some people who reject God's gift of grace. There are some people who reject the invitation to truth and life. There are some people who don't want God's love. They prefer to live in the darkness. I remember sometime last year, there were some miners somewhere in South America who were trapped in a mine deep underground. The authorities didn't believe that it was going to be possible to rescue them, but after much expense and ingenuity and effort from people all over the world, a way was found to be able to rescue them. And so a drill was drilled deep down into the mine, and the people were eventually contacted, and they had cameras down there, and you could see how small the enclosure was and how dark it was, and one began to wonder how anybody could even begin to work down there, let alone to be down there for any extended period of time. I wonder what would have happened if after all of that effort and after all of that expense, when people dug down there, what if the people said, those miners said, that we don't want to be saved. We don't want to go up to the light. We prefer to stay down here. We prefer to stay down in the darkness. We'd consider them to be crazy and perverse, and indeed, we would be right. But there are some people out there who prefer the darkness. There are some people who don't want to go to be in God's light. Several years ago, when I first moved to Atlanta, I lived in an apartment complex in a very rough part of the town. And every evening when I would come home from work, I noticed that the light that illuminated the hallway inside of the complex would be off. So I would get a light bulb and I'd put it in so that there would be light, and the next evening that light would be off again, and I would again inspect the light and notice that The light just needed to be screwed in, and so I would screw it in. And the next evening, the light would be out again. And I began to think maybe there was some kind of short or something, what the problem was. And someone brought it to my attention that there were people in the apartment complex who didn't want there to be light in the hallway because of their activities. Some of them were dealing in drugs, and they wanted to be able to engage in their practices under the cover of darkness, and so they didn't want there to be light in the hallway. And there are some people in our world that don't want there to be light. They don't want the light of God. They don't want the love of God. They don't want God in their lives. They like things just the way that they are. They like the darkness. Perhaps some of you are here this morning and there is darkness inside of your own hearts. Perhaps there are some portions of your life that you too don't want to be brought to the light of God. Some people don't want God's gift of love to permeate their lives. There's some people who have bitterness in their hearts. They're bitter people. There's some people who harbor resentments. They're resentful. And they want to hold on to that. They don't want God's light in their lives. There's some people who are filled with all kinds of prejudices, and they don't want God's light in their lives. They want to hold on to that. There's some people who have lifestyles that they don't want to be brought to the light. They want to hold on to it. They don't want to change. They want the darkness. They're used to operating in the darkness. They love the darkness. They don't want to accept God's gift of light. They don't want to accept God's gift of truth. They don't want to accept God's gift of love. They want to hold on to the things that continue to make a mess out of their lives, and they continue to make a mess out of God's good creation. All of us perhaps have some aspect in our lives that are shrouded in darkness and that we don't want to bring to the light. The good news is that God hasn't given up on any of us. God doesn't give up on us. The Bible tells us that God loves us. God loves the world, which means God loves you and me, and God doesn't give up on any of us. God wants to cleanse us of those places in our lives that are destructive. God wants to shed light in those places in our lives that are shrouded by darkness. God wants us to begin now to live in to the light. God loves this world. God loves you and me. God loves us so much that he gave his only son. It is a wonderful gift, a gift of God's amazing grace, that God loved us so much that he gave his son to die on our behalf. And not only to die on our behalf, but also to show us how to live, to show us what it means to be God's people, to show us how to live as the body of Christ in the world, the way of self-giving love. That's what Jesus Christ showed us. That's what was being displayed on the cross for everyone to see, the depths of God's love for us. God loved us this much. God loved us so much that God was willing to have his son hang on the cross. God loved us so much that God's son was willing to be humiliated. God loved us so much that God's son was willing to endure the jeers and the humiliation of hanging there on the cross. God loved us so much that God's son was willing to be abandoned by his friends. God loved us so much that God's son was willing to die so that you and I could have life and have it most abundantly. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loved you. That's how much God loved me. Not because we were good, not because we were deserving, not because we had it all together, but because we needed. We needed it. We needed to be forgiven. We needed to be rescued. We were lost. We were lost in our sins. We were spiritually dead. But God didn't leave us there. God never leaves us there. God keeps after us because God loves the world. We too are called to love the world. We too are called to be the light of God's love in the midst of the world today. We are called to be the witnesses who love the world so much that, like God, we refuse to let the world go. We don't want anyone to perish, but we want all to have eternal life. Life in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is indeed the light of God's love and God's truth for all of us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you came into our midst so that we might indeed have life and have it in abundance. You gave us the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that the dark places in our hearts might be illumined with your love. You came not only to die for us, but to show us what it means to truly have life. You know all the ways that we turn our backs from you, all the ways that we reject you, and that we reject and turn our backs on one another. You know the ways that we seek to deny your truth. We ask that you continue to open us up, to open up our hearts and open up our minds so that we give ourselves completely to you, so that we truly believe in the goodness of your love, in the depths of your love for each and every one of us, that we truly believe in a way that we give you our allegiance, that we give you our trust, that we give you our very lives. Help us to be the people who know that we are loved so that we are free to give love in return. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.